Today's Big Brother Feedback Show is sponsored by PokerStars. PokerStars is the best play money poker software in the world on desktop and mobile for Android and Apple. It's got the biggest selection of poker games anywhere, like No Limit Hold'em, Stud Draw, and also special variants, including Fast Fold, Zoom Poker, and Jackpot Spin and Go tournaments. We're having our big RHAP poker game this Saturday, September 12th at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, where we're going to be playing our own RHAP Hold'em tournament. I'm going to be doing my Vanessa Rousseau impression. If you want to play against us, you can sign up at pokerstars.net/RHAP. People can play for free as long as they want with no charge. But if they want to jump up to the higher stakes games and the special promotional events, they can buy extra chips for just a few dollars. New players start out on PokerStars with 1,000 chips, but signups via the podcast will get 1,000,000 chips to play with, credited within 24 hours of sign up. So go ahead and check that out at pokerstars.net/RHAP. Sign up today at pokerstars.net/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who never feels like labor to cover Big Brother. Here we are. I'm Rob Sisterino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our special Labor Day Blabtacular, where we are live with all of our live feed correspondents here to check in with just about, 2.5 weeks to go here in the Big Brother season, here at a pivotal Final Six in the Big Brother game. And I'm here with all of my best live feeding bros to talk about what is happening. And of course, we are live here on blab.im, which is a new site we've been using to record a lot of different shows. Use it a lot on Spicin as well, but I've been playing around with it with a bunch of other things. We can have 4 people on the screen, a quad cam, if you will, for all of you Big Brother live feed watchers out there. And so let me introduce you to the panel. You know all these guys. They're all with us here today. Moving clockwise from myself, first off, we talked to him last night. He's back here again. Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm doing great. 2 podcasts in a row. I love it.
Yes. You're on fire. You're on fire. Joining us also then beneath Taryn in the quad cam on camera number 4 is Brent Walgamont. Brent, how are you?
Rob, I'm great. This is so weird on Blab. I feel like we're on the Hollywood Squares. I would like to take Alex Kidwell for the block, please. All right.
No. Alex Kidwell for the win here. He's in camera number 3.
Yeah. Hey, coming to me last, Rob. Does that make me the target?
Yes. This is not like the key ceremony.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're here live on Blab, and one of the cool things about Blab is that we also, in addition to having a chat room, we can also pull people in to talk to other people, so we can take some calls from you guys, which we will do at the end of the show. We'll take turns bouncing these 3 guys out and get a couple of our viewers in, and then we'll go ahead and take some questions from you as well. But in addition to that, I've got some questions from Facebook. Also, if you are joining us live watching the show and you want to have your questions submitted, go ahead and send them into us on Twitter with our hashtag RHAP or using my Twitter at Rob Sisternino. So here we are. We're going to talk about the live feeds coming up in just a little bit. This is in place of our voicemail show, but instead of doing voicemails, I wanted to just do a check in with everybody. Taryn, we heard from you last night, but let me check in with Alex and Brent and hear where their heads are at coming into this Final Six after we saw Steve win the HOH and then put up Liz and Austin up on the block. Alex and Brent, did you guys have anything that you wanted to add to this conversation before we talk about new stuff?
No, I just was happy to see it. I just want to say that, you know, all of your worries from Thursday night were a bit unfounded, as I might have
Brent,
told
is this a little bit of
were.
I told you so? It sounds like I told you so.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, yeah, but I told you so, Rob. Like, calm down, Mary. You know, everything's going to be okay. Steve knew what he was doing. It wasn't the right time to make a move, and now he's making his move. As this is the way they drew it up, as Alex said in the voicemail show. You know, yeah.
And Alex, as well, we spoke on Friday. But are you feeling like a double dose? If I told you so,
You know, I mean, kind of, sort of, you know. I'm a little jet lagged, Rob. I just got back on a red eye from seeing Sigmund and Freud last night. It was an amazing show.
So. Oh, that was totally my joke. All right.
You are the Vegas guy. I should have thought that.
Yes. All right, so we're going to talk about all of it from tonight and, of course, take your questions as well. All right, so let me go ahead and start and ask you guys some questions as we head into this. And, of course, live feed stuff coming later. Let me start off with some of the questions that I got from Facebook. And this is a question that came in to us from Mindy Horowitz, who wanted to know, if Austin was to backstab one of the twins, would that increase his estimation in the eyes of the jury, obviously minus the twin that he voted out? I think that that's a pretty interesting question. Does the House, if they looked at Austin as being the person to take out one of the twins, to be the Darth Vader who threw the Emperor down the shaft, would they have more respect for him, or would that hurt his cause in this game to backstab one or both of the twins?
I think it would hurt his cause at this point. Maybe if the two of them were still left and he took one of them out to make sure that he would get taken in the final three, it might help him. But at this point, he's already seen as the mastermind behind the twins, and it's not in his best interest to take out a twin at this point anyway, so I don't think it would do him any good.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, if it wasn't clear before, I think certainly, you know, having listened to the Meg James responses on those questions, we see that, you know, they're already viewing Austin as the strategic focal point of that group of three. So I think, you know, if you were somebody else and you weren't seen that way, then maybe that's a move you need to make for your resume. But Austin's at a point in this game where he's already seen as the strategic entity there. So it's not necessary.
Right. I think that's not who he is at this point, Rob. Like, the jury thinks he's a certain way, and currently right now he probably could win against some of the people who are currently left in the game. However, if he suddenly became somebody who he's not, I think they might start to question, like, you know, do we really want to give this guy the money? I don't know that that's in his best interest right now.
Is it a disservice to the Austin twins to say Austin is the mastermind of this threesome? Are we being unfair to Liz and Julia?
I don't think we're being unfair to Liz and Julia, but I think we're being unfair in calling Austin a mastermind.
So Austin is not the mastermind. He is not the master Meg of anything.
It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, in the land of the blind, the man with one eye is king. Right?
Exactly. I think just his knowledge of the game is what puts him ahead of them. And maybe he's a little bit better socially.
So it's just compared to the twins, Austin is basically like the Derek of the Austin twins.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. In terms of the position that we see Steve and Johnny Mac in right now, moving forward, who do you feel like is in the better position to win the game, Steve or Johnny Mac? From last night, Taryn, I feel like you say the answer is Johnny Mac, right?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Who is it? Who of those two? Pick your guy. Who's going further in this game?
I'm going to say Steve.
Steve?
Yeah.
Why?
Some spoilery stuff that I don't want to get into yet, but I think Steve, I don't know. I think Steve probably has a better chance of getting further at this point, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Alex or Brent, do you guys also, are you on the Steve train?
I'm thinking that Johnny Mac definitely has a chance to get further in the game. I have to think, I mean, I don't really know why anybody would want to eliminate him at this point. I mean, he seems like somebody that you could beat. I think they all seem to think that. And I don't think that, I mean, I know that that some people have told him that no one would vote for Steve. They don't want to reward another Ian. But I still think that you have to fear Steve in any final four veto, any final three, head of household competition. I really feel like he's the guy that you don't want to go up against in the end. So if I had to place my bet on a win, I would give it to Steve. If I had to place my bet on somebody to go further in the game, I'd put it on Johnny Mac.
And Alex?
I'll go with Johnny Mac. I feel like it's a situation where, I don't know, I feel like it's not going to be as hard for him to A, get there, and B, convince people of certain things as far as his game is concerned. Because the social elements, the things that, you know, certain things are already laid down for Johnny Mac, whereas Steve would have to, like, create an argument as to, you know, the things you didn't see that I was doing. Johnny Mac was a little more like, certainly Shelley is probably someone who's in the jury house that can speak somewhat to the game he was playing and can advocate a little bit. So I think if you're putting a gun to my head and I've got to pick somebody, and especially, you know, Taryn Go and Steve, that makes me want to go Johnny Mac even more. So
I can't explain my reasoning. I'm stuck behind spoilers.
Okay, fair enough. Kelsby Red had a question that she left us as a voicemail, and she was upset that I didn't have the voicemail ready to go. But what she wants to know is, have any of you guys ever made a heart-shaped chicken dinner for anybody?
No.
I have made a chicken dinner. I have never, like, taken into account the shape of said shape, you know, piece of chicken.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah,
that's called trying a bit too hard, Rob.
I'm gonna try that for Nicole. It's her birthday this week. I'm trying to prepare chicken, damn, in a way that she will like.
Yeah, let us know how that works out, Rob.
Yeah, make sure there are no ants in it, and let's see if she sends it back.
Yeah, well, wait, there was ants in this chicken also?
Yeah.
Intentional ants or inadvertent ants?
I think after she sent it back.
Right.
There might have been some ants that got in it.
Yeah, there's ants everywhere. It's not anyone's fault anymore.
I mean, that's typical for Big Brother.
Okay.
Something, yeah.
This is an interesting question that came into us from Harry Schaefer, who wants to know, I'd like to know from all the guys on the podcast if they think Johnny Mac is a lock for America's favorite house guest, and if not, who do they think has a shot? Isn't that money from that either 25 or 50K? I believe it's 25K, right?
Yep.
Right, it's 25K.
Now, Survivor has stopped in the last couple of years doing America's Favorite Player. I feel like Cochran was the last person to have gotten it. It was in Cochran's season. I believe that Malcolm was the one who got it in that season. But they haven't done it since then. Big Brother has continued to do it all the way through, and I'm not sure if that's attached to a title or a name sponsor or a brand or anything like that, or they just such a small sum of money for CBS they're just like, hey, there you go, just keep people watching for the finale. But love to hear from the panel, is Johnny Mac the odds on favorite? Brent?
Well, it's between him and James at this point. I mean, if you believe Joker's updates, I mean, James is the one who's probably got more in lock. And I think the quote-unquote casual viewers may opt for a James type, given what happened last year with Donnie. My money would go to Johnny Mac. All my votes would go to Johnny Mac. I love Johnny Mac. But I think it's close. I still think they're going to pull something out of their butt and try to reward both of them somehow. But, you know, that's just my tin hat foil guy.
Now, how reflective was the Joker's update on it being for Donnie instead of Zach last year? Is that the best way to monitor that?
Yeah, Taryn, wasn't Zach at the top last year? I'd have to go back and look.
I think Zach was, but I think he dropped, and I think Donnie became...
It's tough to put a lot of stock in Jokers because, like, I feel like the same people will vote on it just, you know, over and over again, and that will kind of skew.
Yeah, right. Jokers isn't usually, like, super representative of the casual audience.
Okay.
At least not necessarily.
Well, who do you think is going to win then?
I think it's tough to call. I think it depends on the edit that Johnny Mac gets moving forward and how much we see of James in the jury house. I think if Johnny Mac makes it a few more weeks and he has maybe like a heartbreaking defeat. Chicken heartbreaking exit. I think we're going to see Johnny Mac win. If Johnny Mac kind of goes out with no fuss and we see lots of James doing pranks in the jury house, then I think it could go to James. I think it's kind of neck and neck at the moment.
Wow. So one James scaring one person in the jury house, that could ultimately spell a $25,000 heart-shaped check for James?
Yeah, every scare in the jury house is worth about 2% of the vote, I think.
Wow. Alex, what's your take on this?
Yeah, no, I think I think James is certainly a strong contender for it. And I think one thing that really could go in his favor is the longer Johnny Mac stays, the more people who are torn between the two of them are going to want to lean towards James because it still seems like John has a chance of winning the whole thing. So John making final three, like, I think really helps James's chances of winning America's Player.
Okay. This is a question from Mike Bloom, who wants to know, he'd love to get our takes on the quality of the season so far and how it compares to other recent seasons in the past. I know at around the midway point, we were talking about, okay, this has been a really great season, best season in years. I just would love to get a little bit of a check-in from you guys as to where this season ranks. Again, we don't know how it's going to end over these next 2.5 weeks, but through most of, we've seen what, like 80-85% of this season. How does it hold up for you, Alex?
For me, very well. I mean, I'm really enjoying this season. I think, you know, a lot of the things that people are talking about they wanted to see before this season started, a strong female player, you have that in Vanessa, you know, changing, you know, maybe it hasn't been quite as tumultuous as people were hoping when it looked like there might be two clear sides of the house, but there's still been a lot of up and down and uncertainty. And yeah, I mean, I think as far as, you know, this is certainly, I would put it in above like the midway point for seasons. I think it's probably a little too soon. And without a winner, it's hard to really place it in the kind of pantheon of seasons. But I think, yeah, I mean, it looks good. And for me, it's only getting better.
Okay. All right. What about you, Taryn?
I mean, I think it's been a really great season. I'm probably not the best person to ask to represent the mainstream opinion because I loved last season. I loved watching Derek dominate it. I didn't care if it was predictable. I also loved 14. So I don't necessarily think it's better than 14. I think it's just as good, but I loved 14. So I thought the first half was great for drama and craziness and alliances. And I think this second half has been good.
Now, my answer to the question, honestly, Rob, is that I really do love this season. We did hit a little bit of a lull with the Liz, Austin, Vanessa, Liz, HOH reign, which sort of, you know, slowed down, I think, a lot of the drama that a lot of the fans were hoping for. But other than that, I think the season really holds up.
Okay. All right. I think it's been pretty good. You know, definitely very frustrating course of like the last like 2 or 3 weeks was a little bit of a dip. I felt like I think that there was so much attention that was put towards, okay, somebody's going to come back into the house and it's really going to shake things up. And then the double eviction is really going to shake things up. And neither of those things really were a big shift in the game. Ultimately, it didn't come until we got down to this final six that really now we're starting to see things. This is a good question. Would you let Johnny Mack be your dentist? That's from Shan.
Totally.
You would. So you think that Johnny Mack's dentistry business after this is going to pick up, Taryn?
If he was in my city, I would absolutely go to Johnny Mack for my dentist because I'd never want to go to the dentist because I don't want them to tell me I'm doing something wrong. But if Johnny Mack was telling me I was doing something wrong, he'd just like laugh at it and I would laugh too. And we would both be like, hey, let's play video games.
He's like a solid hour and a half, 2 hours for me. And I'm considering going to him. It's really like that. I really feel like he would just tell it to you straight. My biggest thing is I don't like when the dentist is like, oh, it's going to be fine. And it's just horrifically painful. I feel like Johnny Mack would be like, don't worry, dude. It's going to suck. I'll give you some drugs. It'll be cool. Like, we'll hang out after.
This is going to be like the worst dental injection of all time. Just boom, right in the gums and bam.
I can get behind that degree of honesty. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel like you could take him seriously when he's like, you got cavities. It's a mess in there. I've never seen anything this bad before. It's just a mess.
He's not going to sugarcoat that stuff.
Yeah, well, don't sugarcoat anything when you go to the dentist. They hate that.
I've seen him talk about teeth on the feeds, and he sounds very knowledgeable, and he sounds very professional when he talks about
He's passionate.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
Well, he's passionate about money.
Money?
Yeah, that's why I got into dentistry.
Yeah, I love that he doesn't hide that. I mean, anybody who's coming in here for anything else is an idiot. Like, he's straight up, you know, he's honest with them. It's like, this is why I'm here. This is what I need. I have student loans out the yin-yang. I need money to pay them off.
Yeah, it's going to be really odd to see after this all happens, because first off, most people on a reality show, Big Brother or Survivor, typically they don't have a job in the first place. And second of all, they typically don't have a job where you can go visit them. Like, they don't have a job more often than not where you know where they're going to be at all times. You can make appointments to go see them. So I really feel like there's going to be a lot of people like just going to Johnny Mack just like as fans. And I think that's going to be a weird spot. I wonder if it's almost going to be the kind of thing where I don't know if it's necessarily going to be something that they want where he works. I know that on paper, it's like, okay, great. It'll be so much business. But then if it starts to become a distraction where everybody just wants Johnny Mack there, I think that's really going to be something interesting to watch for him. He might have to start his own practice.
Yeah, work for Dr. Will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, Rob. I think it'll work out. Like, I mean, like maybe a couple weeks after the season, I think, you know, it'll be pretty hectic for him, but it'll die down. I mean, it takes a lot of, you know, cojones to walk into a dentist office and, you know, make an appointment just because you're a fan of the guy and, you know, you got to pay for it and everything. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you really think that would stop people of like, oh, I don't.
Well, I just don't think that many people are going to do it. You know, I think that, yeah, there's probably going to be like 10, 15 people that try that. But, you know, those people will pay their appointment fee and, you know, see you later.
Alex, we might have to send you on location with a camera.
Yeah, I'm willing to bite that bullet, Rob. I'm willing to be that guy. I think that'd be kind of fun.
I'll be your cameraman.
I wonder if some other dentist might like give him like try to like pay him to come and be working in their practice because he's going to be an attraction. He's going to be like a free agent.
Oh, he's an attraction, all right.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'm just telling you. Yeah. Oh, come on, Rob. You know, you're not a fan of Johnny Mack? Yeah.
I mean, I guess so. I mean,
it always stops you cold anytime I do anything like that. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
I don't know if I want him necessarily working on my teeth. I feel like I'm worried that he might just be a little too lackadaisical based on some of the things I've seen from his gameplay this summer.
I like how you're describing dentists, Rob, like they're free agents in football or something. Like there's this, right. This contract negotiation that needs to take place.
Well, somebody could like steal him out from underneath wherever he works. I don't think it's his practice. I think he works for somebody.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. And we don't think that Johnny Mack is going to go off and become like a like go like try to, you know, my real passion is music and I'm going to go off and, you know, start beating the band.
You like somebody too much.
Hey, never say exactly. Never.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. Okay. So I want to make sure I want to get questions from you guys here in the chat as well. So fire away with questions. I also see that I think that at one point McCray was in the chat room and Brendan was also in the chat room. If you guys want to pop in, definitely let me know and we'll do a little bit of musical chairs to get some of these guys on the podcast as well here on a special Labor Day edition of the voicemail show. All right. We haven't talked about Vanessa yet today, and that is against the rules of Rob's podcast that we can't go more than, you know, 25 minutes on the Big Brother podcast and not talk about Vanessa. I'm very bullish on Vanessa's chances to win the game. Is it outlandish for me to say that she is odds on the person who is in the best position to win the game, the most likely person to win the game? Do any of the three of you guys disagree with that hot take?
Yes, I do, because I'm still dubious about her overall chances in a final two situation against somebody who's more likable than she is. I mean, ultimately, especially on a 9-person jury, you know, it's sort of a clique mentality develops, and I'm afraid that you know, she's not going to have enough time to explain her game to the people who are sitting on the jury and who probably really don't like her all that much and that she has not developed social bonds with.
All right. Disagreement from Alex or Taryn.
And feel free to disagree. Like, if you like, you can tell me that I'm an idiot, but I really think she's going to have a hard time.
I don't think you're an idiot. I think there's definitely a chance she has a hard time in the final two. I'm not sure that I think if she gets there, she'll probably win. I think it's undeniable the game she's played. And I think even when Meg and James get to the jury, Shelley's going to be like, no, guys, I was playing with Vanessa. I know how good she is. I think she'll do well if she gets there. I don't think she's as much of a lock as previous winners like Andy or Derek were to get there. I think she'll have a harder time in the final three than previous winners, but I think she is the favorite to get there. And if she gets there, I do think she has a better than not chance to win, even though she definitely does have a chance to lose.
Well, let me ask you guys a question, because we have some people who are in the house who are the super fans, who are like Steve, and we could say Austin, and potentially Johnny Mack. And then we have a couple of people in the house who are people who just have basically very little experience with Big Brother, and even other people on the jury, like a Jackie or a Becky, and people like that. based on what we've seen from Big Brother and Survivor over the years, who is more likely to give it to a person who may have screwed them over but played the best game? Is it the super fan or is it the person who doesn't know a lot about the game? Is the recruit more likely just to give it up to that person? Do we have enough knowledge to make this determination? Because intuitively, I think we would say the super fan is that person, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
I mean, you know, the people that come to mind, my mind readily are the super fans. You know, you think of Spencer advocating for Tony. You think of David Murphy doing the same. I do tend to think that it's more likely that someone with a background and knowledge of the game is looking at things from a perspective other than their own. That being said, there's no clear-cut answer to that, I don't think. But I just think, you know, if you're just basing it strictly on that, the propensity is there for a super fan where it probably isn't for a recruit.
I think the biggest difference is the total makeup of the jury rather than an individual going back and forth. If there are super fans in there that that are saying we have to vote for the best player and here's the best player, and they're kind of in the majority of the jury, then the recruits will probably go along with that. If the recruits are more than the super fans, I feel like the super fans will go along with the recruits saying, you know, maybe they played better, but their jury management wasn't good enough, so they didn't play better.
Let's see if we want to open this up to live feeds in just a moment. Is there anything else from non-live feed stuff that you guys want to get off your chest today?
We could probably talk about the edit, I think, that's kind of shifting around toward the Vanessa mastermind kind of thing. I feel like this is around the time last season when we finally started to see Derek really like talk about what he was doing in the diary room. And I feel like they're kind of doing the same thing with Vanessa. So it kind of makes me feel like this is around the time where they think, okay, this is our best player. We're going to lock in. This is their mastermind edit. I think Netta had the same thing in her season. They really like kind of lock onto one player and give that edit. And I think it's interesting.
Why do you think that is? Because the show wants you to walk away from the season like, hey, damn, that person played the best game and I'm glad that they won?
I think that's it. I think they're usually very conservative throughout the season. They try to give the people that they know are going home little bits of Dodo edits here and there to make you okay with them leaving. And then they're not too high on one person because they don't want you to be too upset if somebody leaves. And then around this time, they feel like, all right, here we go. Time to go all in. And give a real strong narrative to the end of the season.
Strong narrative.
I think a lot of it too is, yeah, you're taking a 24/7 game and condensing it into 3 hours a week. So you're really trying to find a way to tell the week's story in the most streamlined way possible. Like, and a lot of, especially this season, there's been a lot of convoluted, like it's been a lot of loops as to how we got from point A to point B, but they don't have time to tell you that in the show. So they're just trying to cut, you know, straight line right from A to B. And sometimes what we get as a result is they've got to make one person the catalyst for why things change and one person the catalyst for why they're dumb and cause themselves to, you know, shoot themselves in the foot and go home. And that's just easy storytelling.
Tanner, can you give me an example of something you saw in the edit that points to the Vanessa mastermind edit?
I feel like she was talking more about, okay, now's the time to turn on the Austin, the twins, and set it up so that there's two pairs and I'm in the middle of those pairs. That sets me up to go further in the game. It's at the very least, it's a lot more than what we were seeing before, which was like, oh, Austin, the twins are betraying me and I was so loyal to them. And why are they doing this?
Okay. I believe we have Brendan here. Brendan, are you there, buddy?
I am. I popped in for the, you guys are on the cutting edge of technology. I got to be right behind
the bleeding edge. I know. Well, we got to try to catch up to you because you periscope so much.
I'm almost at two million hearts.
Two
almost
million there. Hearts for Brendan on Periscope. Wow. So I feel like very if nice. We get the four of us on here blabbing 10 times a day, we'll be catching up to you. You're going to be at 2 million props pretty soon here on Blab. All right. So, Brendan, what are you doing today? What are you doing on Labor Day?
I'm working on my proposal. I'm trying to graduate in December with my PhD. So
not
I'm
a marriage
there.
Proposal for you're not renewing your vows?
No, not yet. We're not there yet. That's 5 years, I think.
Okay, good. Brendan, real quick. Okay, so here we are back with the final six. I know everybody was picking on me for overreacting to Thursday night's double eviction. Were you, did you have the three C's?
I was reacting just as badly. I was, Rachel even told me when I was periscoping, I had veins coming out of my neck because I was so just tired of it. I was like, you know what I mean? I was at my, I literally was ready to not tune in to Big Brother until finale night because I didn't care at that point. I was done. I threw in the towel. Steve was dead to me. Johnny Mac was on the cusp of being dead to me. So, and then Vanessa, I just couldn't stand anymore. And I mean, come on, the Oz twins, seriously? You know?
Yes. Okay, but now are you feeling good about this? Do you feel like Steve can Steve and Johnny Mac? I mean, is that who you're rooting for, or is it Vanessa that you're rooting for?
I go back and forth really at this point because I will say that I'm pretty satisfied with at least like 4 to 5 out of 6 people there. Because Julia, I still don't think deserves to win. Liz, I think she has kind of earned her spot where she's at slightly, but she doesn't really care. So it's really hard to root for her. And then with Johnny Mac, he gets a second time to come back in. So it's really hard to root for the person that comes back in the house again. And Steve has earned my respect a little bit more. So I'm still hoping Steve can pull something out. And Vanessa, I really want to root for Vanessa, but it's the crying factor. It's when somebody comes to me and cries, I would not fall for it.
Now, hold on here. Let me back up here for a second, buddy. because I can think of another Big Brother player who cries a lot that I feel like you were rooting for. Fair or unfair?
Okay, so I will say
that also New Vegas.
Fair, definitely fair, because I thought about this a long time ago, because when I made this argument, I would have to back it up. Rachel cried out of emotional stress. Like when she was crying, it was usually because something had happened and she was falling apart. But she didn't come to everybody. Yeah, you can hear her. She didn't come to everybody to try to convince them of her, whatever she's trying to convince them of, by crying. And that's to me. Okay, here she goes again. So that's for me what I think was the difference is Vanessa keeps coming to people and uses her crying as a strategy to convince them of why they should do whatever it is she wants them to do. So for me, that kind of deflates her in terms of like looking at her as a strong player, because I feel like a strong player doesn't necessarily have to go to the emotional card all the time. And a lot of girls tend to do that.
Do you feel like it's a card though?
I do. I absolutely do. Because I mean, how many times have you seen a guy legitimately use their emotion and crying as a way to get out of something in Big Brother? Because it doesn't happen very often.
Dan Giesel.
I mean, we can try it.
The funeral.
Yeah, the funeral was really bad. I'm not gonna lie. I still don't know how that worked.
The funeral was
genius. Okay. I think the funeral was genius on Dan's part. Any other season that nobody else would have fallen for it. I think you had a lot of suckers that season. So I think a lot of times some of these strategies work with who you have in the house. I mean, Vanessa has lied to a lot of people, got caught, and these people still don't catch on every time they're being confronted with the truth.
All right. Well, thank you to Brendan who joined us to talk about this stuff. We got a little bit of his take on why he is a Johnny Mac and Steve man moving forward. You guys ready to talk live feeds?
Always ready.
Always.
All right. Here we go.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. We're going to talk about the live feeds and we're going to get into everything going on. And we just had our veto meeting. Alex, what's happening?
Well, it's all come together. And, in fact, what, Taryn, you know, told everybody was going to happen last night has indeed happened. And, you know, Austin used the veto on himself and Julia has taken his place.
There you go. All right. It is, twins on the block. Is there any new thought on who is going to be the person to go home?
Still should be Liz, I think. There hasn't been any talk of switching. They've seemed to have made up their mind at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, other than, you know, the Liz and Austin, like, kind of makeup, yesterday was surprisingly slow, given how crazy Saturday was.
Okay. So, a slow day. Do we expect any fireworks throughout the rest of the week?
I expect it to be pretty slow.
Pretty slow. Yeah. So, how is Liz going to, and Julia, going to handle the rest of the week? Is she just going to try to get in as much time with Austin as possible? Is she trying to campaign against her sister?
Liz wants Julia to stay. She wants to go. And she's just going to spend time with her sister in Austin. And
why does Liz want Julia to stay?
Because she thinks that she's going to be targeted moving forward. Julia won't. Julia will make it further.
And yeah, if Julia is a better lock for money and they're planning on splitting their money, then that, you know, speaks to why Liz is.
So it's just a case of that. Okay, well, she has a better chance to get to the 50,000 and I don't have a chance to ultimately win. So I'll probably end up with whatever, you know, whatever the stipend is of, you know, $1,000 a week for 11 weeks or whatever. So it'll ultimately be a $39,000 difference. Not to sneeze at $39,000, but still.
Yeah, and I think another part of it might be, I saw Liz saying at one point that Julia always kind of gets the raw end of the deal when it comes to the two of them, and she really wants to give this to her sister. I mean, yeah, I mean, they're twins. It's going to happen.
The Zingbox has been called there in Liz's shadow. Yes. What a story for the ages of Liz and Julia.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the second time this season alone that somebody has willingly laid down in order to let the other person survive.
Okay. All right. Interesting to see where we go from here. All right, let's take some of your questions about stuff from the spoilers, either on Twitter or here in the chat on blab.im. And let's get into it. I got to get a spoiler question here. Let's go back to earlier why you felt like Johnny Mac had a better shot than Steve, and it was from the spoilers that you couldn't talk about before.
It was actually Steve might have a better shot than Johnny Mac. I do think they have pretty even shots, but last night I was talking about how Vanessa is probably going to be targeting Steve next week, but the best final three for her to get to the end where both people would take her would probably be Steve and Austin. And of course, as soon as I say that, Vanessa has a talk with Steve where she says, hey, I want a final three with you and Austin, basically. And she's trying to get Austin to target Johnny Mac instead of Steve next week. And she's talking to Steve about targeting Johnny Mac instead of Austin at final four. So I think that might be where she's heading now. So she might be wanting to take out Johnny Mac and then Julia in order to ensure that she gets to the final two, thinking as long as she gets there, she can probably win.
Alex, how do you feel about that now?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, just again, another case of Vanessa thinking through all the variables and, you know, keeping her plan from ever really being set in stone. She's always been very good this season about kind of keeping things fluid and keeping her options open and kind of continuously thinking about, am I going the right way? Is there another path that might be better for me? So this is, again, just another example of Vanessa kind of playing all angles.
Taryn, would that be a big mistake for Steve to go ahead and go for that?
Oh, yeah. Steve should absolutely want to go to the final three with Johnny Mac, at least. Maybe Johnny Mac and Austin. No, probably Johnny Mac and Austin or Johnny Mac or Vanessa.
I mean, is there a chance that next week when we get to the final five that everybody turns on Vanessa?
There's a chance for sure.
Wouldn't that be in everybody's best interest?
Not necessarily, because they might see Austin and Julia as a tight pair, and obviously Steve and Johnny Mac are a tight pair. So both sides will want to make sure that they take a chunk out of the other one, thinking, well, Vanessa at the very least might be on our side. She might want to keep me moving forward. Whereas these other people, they're obviously going to be together and not going to want to take each other out.
Yeah.
Okay. Alex, did you have any thoughts on the keeping Liz versus Julia debate that we were talking about last night?
Yeah. You know, I talked about it a little bit on Friday because I really liked John's idea of kind of like, cutting Vanessa off at the knees a little bit and keeping her from being able to just kind of side with the other group once Steve was unable to play for head of household. Yeah, I mean, this really is a point where it's all a numbers game. You're thinking about, you know, going into the next competition, who can't play and what does that leave in terms of, you know, the odds to win? Because if you're not the head of household at this point, it almost doesn't even matter if you're aligned with them. You could very easily find yourself on the block. There's so few people. So, yeah, I mean, I like the idea. I understand really both sides of it. But ultimately, I think Vanessa is the scariest player in the game. So anything you can do to try to keep her or limit her and keep her close, keep her from having, you know, ways she can go that don't include you, that's best, because she's going to find a way to the end, it seems like. So you want her to be there with you.
Okay. Ron Chan wanted to know from us, besides Vanessa, who else from this cast would you like to see on an All-Stars season? Now, assuming Vanessa, let's just take her out of the mix in case she's the winner or whatever. Who are the All-Stars from this season? Have we had this conversation yet?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Okay. It's an interesting conversation.
Chat room, you're in on this too.
Yeah, I would love to see Johnny Mac come back. I think after he was evicted, he came back with a fire and he really thinks the game through, and he's decent socially. And I think if he came back, he'd really be able to do well as long as he cared enough. I don't think he would come back, though, unfortunately. But I think he would be offered to because he's so popular, and I do think he'd have a chance at doing well if he came back.
Seems like a no-brainer for Johnny Mack, potentially. What about Steve? Steve, all-star or no?
I don't think so. Steve has expressed multiple times that he doesn't want to do it again, that he, even right now in the game, he feels like this is really hard, and he applied thinking he would never make it on,
right.
And he applied in order to, like, acquiesce his, you know, feelings that he needed to try, but he was happy that he wouldn't ever get on because he didn't really actually want to be there. And now that he's here, he's like, this is really hard. I don't want to do it again.
I think this might be the kind of season where, you know, there's less clear-cut all-stars than there would be possibles for like a second chance this season, because you've got a lot of seemingly strong personalities, characters, players that went out early. And that's why a lot of people are frustrated with this late game, because there's a lot of, you know, I mean, for lack of a better term, like fluff that's still in the house when you had like the Jasons and the Davons and the Audreys all out early. So I think it could be interesting if they ever decide to go the survivor route and do a second chances kind of thing. You might see some representatives from this season.
So, you know, we got a couple people there. Just to go back to the Steve thing, because I think it's so interesting. Has Steve been good television this season? Because I feel like, just going by the edit, I feel like production has been pretty happy with Steve. Do you feel like that's the case, Taryn? Do you think that is the case about the production liking Steve?
I do. I think they got exactly what they wanted out of him. Probably even more so, maybe not more so than Ian, but Ian kind of gave them something they didn't probably know they wanted out of Ian. Steve gave them exactly what they wanted. He's the mama's boy, nerd, very socially awkward, and he's been that way the whole way through, and now he's gotten to the end. He's still kind of strategic. He's doing decent enough in competitions. He's a likable underdog. I think he's given them exactly what they hoped for.
Yeah, I've talked about a little bit before how throwing in like a, you know, big kind of confrontational meathead type is like throwing a wrench into the game for someone who's averse to confrontation. I think it's the same with like the social butterfly. Like throwing in a Steve is the wrench to the game for someone like a Meg, who's just going to be very capable at kind of getting along with all quote unquote normal people. But then you add a Steve into the house, and it's really just a variable that a lot of people who haven't met someone like that before can't really account for.
Okay, let me give you guys another question from Twitter. This is from Power of Neato. Said, why did Steve think it was a good idea to grill Johnny Mack so hard about being a twist? Taryn, is this what we were talking about last night?
Yeah, he's still on it. He's talking about it again, either last night or this morning. Just really grilling Johnny Mack hard. You are a twist, right? Like, you are America's player or something. Like, maybe you're not America's player, but you're definitely doing pranks like Team America or something. And Johnny Mack was like, no, I'm not. And Steve was saying, that's what you would say if you were the twist, though. And so Johnny Mack was just like, well, I guess there's nothing I can say then. And
Steve, I am?
Steve got up and he was like, this conversation raised my suspicions exponentially. Johnny Mack is just like, okay, I mean, you're going to have fun watching the finale, I guess. And since Steve was like, am I going to be revealed? Is there something that's going to be revealed? Like, no.
You do get some good conversations with them where it's like, they're both like just showing each other their cards, but their cards aren't like aligned necessarily. So it's like, dude, did you know I don't really totally trust you? Like, yeah, I know that.
Well, Steve does say he emphasizes, if you are a twist, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I really think that you are.
Okay. Kelsby Red in the chat room is saying, can we talk about Julia having a crush on Jesse now since the veto comp? The BB universe hates us. Is that true? Does Julia have a thing for Jesse? And will we see a potential double date between Jesse and Julia and Liz and Austin?
As a wrestling fan, I can tell you will absolutely not see that, because Austin, you know, in his preseason interview, Austin was throwing serious shade at Jesse for not being a lifelong wrestling fan and instead just being like a Jesse fan who saw an opportunity to like get Jesse's half naked body on TV screens. So Austin is like this lifelong, you know, like lover of wrestling, and he sees Jesse as more of like a male model who's in his industry. So that started like from the get-go. Before day one of the show, Jesse was tweeting about how Austin sucks. So
okay,
I do think he turned around though when he met Jesse, and he was kind of starstruck, and he was very happy that Jesse put the veto around his neck, and he talked about how he wanted to wrestle Jesse at some point after the show.
Okay. You guys ready to tempt fate? You want to try to bring in some callers?
Let's go for it.
All right. Real quick, we're going to try it again. A couple real quick. Just one question if we bring you on. Let's go ahead. If you want to jump in and join, click that fourth window in the quad cam. Let's try this one. Here we go. This is from F Star Deluxe.
Okay. Hi.
Hello. How's it going?
Hi. This is so cool.
And who are you?
My name is Francesca. I also go by Frankie.
Frankie Grande.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a mogul?
Me and my friends had a big laugh about that one.
Yes. Okay. So do you have a big brother question for us?
Not really.
Do you have any question for us?
Who are you rooting for? Who's your favorite player?
Definitely Johnny Mac. If anyone else wins, I'm just going to be pissed.
Yes. Why Johnny Mac? What is it about Johnny Mac?
Well, you know, he's kind of the underdog and he doesn't really piss me off.
Who pisses you off?
Goes a long way this season.
The Twins.
The Twins. Why? Why do they piss you off?
Too sassy.
Too sassy? You don't like the sass?
Not even a little.
Not even a little bit. Okay. What about if it's not Johnny Mac? Is there anybody else that you could live with?
Maybe Austin.
Austin? But no, that's weird to me that you like Austin but not the Twins.
Yeah, I don't know. He just seems more of a down-to-earth person.
Okay. All right. So Frankie says, go Johnny Mac.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, Frankie.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Nice having you.
All right. Good. All right. That's how it goes. All right. Let's bring in Dan.
That's cool.
Dan Sinensky. Dan, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Very good. Very happy to get, we got everything under control right now, Dan. What's your question?
I'll make it quick. How do you think the winners of BB 14 through 16 compared to the potential winners BB 17 in terms of strategy and gameplay?
I think it depends on who wins, obviously. I think if Vanessa wins, I think she's on the same tier as probably Andy. Derek's better. Ian, probably not as... I love you, Ian. probably not as good. If it's anyone else, probably around Ian's tier, maybe lower.
How many tiers are there in your mind, Aaron?
Five tiers.
Five tiers of winners. Probably. Okay. Yeah. How many people would be on that tier? Is Andy on the second tier?
Andy, Maggie, Hayden, Boogie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good. I would like to see an infographic of the Armstrong tiers of Big Brother winner pyramid.
That's like the third tier. We got Derek right above them, kind of alone, and then we got Dan and Will.
So Dan and Will are on the top tier, and then Derek is alone on a second tier?
I need to see him play again before I can safely put him there.
That's fair. That's fair. Dan, are you satisfied?
I actually meant like similarities and differences between like the 14 through 16 winners.
I'll take that as a no. Not satisfied.
Not satisfied.
No!
I can try again or I can let Alex.
Yeah. All right, Alex, you try this one.
Okay. If Vanessa wins the game, I think we'll be talking about... I think there'll be a lot of people comparing her to Derek. I really do. And I know that there's the emotional side of Vanessa that you didn't see with Derek, because obviously Derek's background is, you know, in law enforcement and stuff. He's very used to maybe stressful situations, interpersonal situations that Vanessa isn't. But to me, that doesn't discount everything that Vanessa's doing in terms of running this game. So I think that will be a very interesting conversation. Should Vanessa win this game? I think if Steve were to win this game, I think, you know, people were really discounting the Steve-Ian comparisons early on, but I think you'd start to see those come up again and really start to see people ask, like, you know, if we go back and rewatch these games, like, how similar was it to Ian? Obviously, Ian might have even had more help with Brittany looking out for him and stuff like that. So is Steve's win maybe as impressive or more impressive? I think it really becomes interesting. So there's a lot that could still, you know, obviously who wins this season really changes the conversation, but I think there's a lot there. That's a really very, very open-ended kind of thing to talk about. We could go on. We could have a whole podcast just about that.
All right. Absolutely. Well, good stuff, Dan.
I'm sorry. I didn't get your question right.
Sorry, I'll just leave so someone else can ask a question.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. Carlos Vidal says, is this the Casper mattress guy? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
I remember that video. All right, take care, guys.
Take care, buddy.
You too.
All right, let's try. So far, this is all working. This is too good to be true. Let's try Kelly. Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good, Kelly. You look like you're at a barbecue right now.
I'm not. I'm on my deck enjoying the sunshine and listening to the blab. I love the blab.
Good. Got to love the blab. All right, Kelly, what's your question?
My question is, we're talking about bitter jury, the possibility of a bitter jury. Let's go through the juror members and say who is bitter towards Vanessa. Because I'm not seeing all the bitterness that everyone else is.
All right. Bitter jury members towards Vanessa. We start with Shelley. Bitter or not bitter?
I don't think she's bitter. I mean, I think she was angry at Vanessa. I don't think she'll vote bitterly, though.
I don't think so either.
I don't either.
Jackie.
I don't either.
I think she spent enough time with Shelley that she probably wouldn't be bitter, but I think her character is one that's more likely to be bitter.
Okay.
She's one of the more likely ones for me, yeah.
Becky. Is she a bitter Becky?
I don't think Becky would be bitter.
I think Becky respects the fact that Vanessa got it over on her, to be honest. Yeah. Becky handled that well.
Me too.
Okay. Then after that, Johnny Mac went out, and then he came back into the house. And then we ultimately had the double eviction. Meg, is Meg going to be bitter?
I think she'll try to be. She might not. If everyone else is saying calm down, she might, you know, go with them. But I think she's definitely bitter at the moment.
I think it will depend on who's there at that point.
Yeah. I think Meg's bitterness will depend on James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very possible.
And the question is James going to be bitter?
I don't think James is.
I don't either.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where I don't think they'd be bitter, but I think they may, like, say it's Vanessa and Austin. They may actually believe that Austin's played the better game, yeah, which is the scenario that I think could be more likely.
Yeah, they may continue to misunderstand the right. power structure in the game, which is always...
Right, because James and Meg both said that they think Austin is playing the best game, mm-hmm. which surprised me.
Me too, yeah.
It didn't surprise me too much because they weren't really involved in a lot of the gameplay. So they probably didn't really see what was happening or weren't capable of seeing it because they weren't really...
Well, it's hard to see something when you're laying down the whole game.
And Vanessa's done...
Easy.
Vanessa's done a lot this season too of talking to her core alliance and sending them out to do work. So she's actually kind of one person removed from a lot of the conversations that have happened with the Meg and James group. So I think that speaks to it as well.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, Kelly. Uh-huh. Well, thank you for the question.
You guys did great. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Take care. Have a good one. Okay.
Bye. You too. Bye.
All right. All right. Let's see. Now we got a million. Hold on. Let's just check back in with Brent and see how he's doing. He said he's pulling his hair out in the chat room. I want to make sure Brent's doing okay. Brent, how are you doing?
You can actually hear me now?
We hear you now. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, fabulous. I'm on like my third computer and I'm so thrilled to be able to get this to work.
Okay.
But Alex basically, he stole my point. What I was trying to say was, I think that the previous caller, who, by the way, I'm totally bitter that she's outside and I can't even get a computer to work inside.
Bitter podcaster.
The question isn't, is the jury bitter? I think they're inherently likable people by nature, the people that are currently in the jury. What I was trying to say was that I just don't think that Vanessa has developed enough bonds with these people, you know, to be able to, you know, they've got to say, we want to give you $500,000. And I think there are other people who are currently in the game who they would say, we want to give you $500,000 more. And I think that's Vanessa's responsibility that maybe they don't understand the power structure in the house. You know, that works for her and against her. On one hand, it keeps her safe. But on the other hand, they may not reward her at the end because they don't realize how much good work she's putting in. That's what we saw what happened in Big Brother Canada 3 with Godfrey. They didn't see his game, and so they didn't reward him for it. So, you know, if people don't see your game, they're not going to be able to give you the money at the end.
Okay. Brent, where was this connection the whole show?
Well, I was so frustrated. I was so mad because I was so looking forward to this, and then
you look and sound great now.
Great, thank you. Well, I'm on a new computer, and I thought this would be a good try, and I'm happy to be here.
All right, you
can still kick me off if you want to talk.
No,
to
I'm gonna we're gonna wrap it up because I gotta go barbecue for my wife. Or I'm gonna be in trouble soon.
But at least when next time we do a blab, I know what to do.
Next time. All right. Well, this was a very fun experiment. Glad to get on the same page with all of you guys here today. Check in 2.5 weeks from the end of the season. Thanks everybody who was able to bear with us for our technical issues to watch the show. Great to hear from you guys as well. I mean, the thing that appeals to me the most about Blab is I love the interactivity and I love hearing from you guys in the community about what you're thinking. And I will love this to be a conversation and not just some like me standing there and just, you know, pontificating in a vacuum. I love getting the feedback from you guys. And that's why I love experimenting with stuff like this. So That being said, we'll be back Wednesday night live for our next Big Brother podcast with Andy Heron at 9:15 p.m. Eastern. We'll also be back on Blab tonight to record the Spicin' Hour with Spencer Pratt and Tyson Apostle at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, coming up here in just a little bit. So have a great Labor Day, everybody. Don't forget, on Tuesday night, we will be doing our Survivor 31, our Survivor Cambodia preview. Nicole and I are going to be together 9:15 p.m. Eastern, 6:15 p.m. Pacific on robhasawebsite.com. We're going to go through all 20 Second Chance cast members and talk about who we like and don't like so far in the new Survivor season. So that's coming up on Tuesday night here on Rob Has a Podcast. Have a great Labor Day, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.